Hello, friends. It's time for the News Talk 94.9 WSJM Morning Announcements with yours truly, Jim Gifford, and my partner in crime, Spencer Rivers. Brought to you by the good people at Special Light Indicator in Benton Harbor. And there is a good chance that you have walked through a special light door when you go into a local restaurant or visit a school or a store or walk into a manufacturing plant. So thank you to Special Light Indicator in Benton Harbor and enjoy your morning announcements.
12 minutes after 6 o'clock on a Monday morning in Michigan's great Southwest. Well, Spence, we'll begin the day with a quick paying of homage to an American television icon whom we lost over the weekend, and a tribute to the nation's quest for knowledge and to those who still revere that attribute in people. Alex Trebek passed away over the weekend. I'm sure you saw that.
Oh, yeah.
At 80 years old, lost his battle with pancreatic cancer. Yesterday. Born Sudbury, Ontario, became a U.S. citizen in 1998, had hosted Jeopardy since it was revived in syndication in 1984. But I did not know that he had hosted all of these other shows. The Wizard of Odds, I never even saw that, did
no,
you?
No, no.
Never saw it or heard of it. Double Dare, not familiar
no.
with it. High Rollers.
That's vaguely familiar.
Battle Stars. I don't know what that was about. Classic Concentration. And To Tell the Truth. And prior to that, he got started early on, I think, with CBS. He was a news reporter, an anchor in the early part of his career. But passed away. And I've heard little to no speculation on who might be next. Have you heard anything about who might take over?
No, that's big shoes to fill.
That is for sure. He had overtaken Bob Barker as having hosted the most or the highest number of game shows in his career in the not-too-distant past. So, Godspeed to Alex Trebek and best wishes to the Trebek family there. What else do we know this morning? Do you have access to security camera stuff in your studio over there?
If I do, I don't know it. I don't know.
The question I ask is one of the cameras. There was something stuck in a spider web up here. I thought initially it was a spider, but the way it was flailing around there, it didn't appear to be. It appeared to be something that was stuck in the web. And
we'll have to take a look.
Well, he's gone now. Mm. I was afraid I was going to be witness to a murder here this morning. But I don't know. I glanced away, and now he's gone. But he was right up there in the bright spotlight of of that security camera. A little bit of entertainment here in the studios this morning. How was your weekend there, Mr. Spence? Everything all right?
Yeah, we celebrated my mother-in-law's 80th birthday with a drive-by parade.
Wow.
Because of COVID, we were going to have a big party, but that got, you know.
Derailed?
Yes, because of COVID. Nobody wanted to get sick. And then Saturday afternoon and most of the day yesterday was leaf removal.
Yeah, you and the rest of the free world, myself included. The buzz of leaf blowers and lawnmowers and everything else that you can crank up with a gasoline engine or electric if you've got a
plug. The rake.
Except the rake, yeah. I didn't even pick up a rake. Everything I did this weekend was with power equipment. Wow. And I've got looking at what's left, I've got at least two more shots at this coming, at least.
Wow.
Based on what's still up above. So, but what I'm doing so far is working, I guess.
I don't mind doing it. It's, my mower is a mulcher, so I just, the real thick stuff I raked out in the ravine, and the thin stuff I just mowed over, and it chews it up into little tiny pieces.
Yeah, and that's good for your lawn, they say.
Yeah.
Gives it some compost, so to speak, and that's kind of what I'm doing too. The leftover stuff, I'm picking up the majority of it because there's so much, But yeah, it does leave some residue behind, and that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been always one of my lifelong goals is to leave residue behind. So yeah, I got at least a couple more weekends like that ahead of me, I'm afraid. Unless we get a big wind and it all blows elsewhere, but I'm not counting on that.
If all the weekends were like this past one weather-wise, I would be happy.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. We start cooling off by midweek. Could set records today, according to Carrie Pujol, in some areas in the mid-70s, but by Wednesday, highs in the 40s again.
Ooh,
so.
Wow. I also pulled the window air conditioner out of my bedroom. So.
Really?
That's probably why it got so warm.
Yeah, I don't. Mine didn't fire up. It was a good break for the furnace though over the weekend. We didn't have to worry about that much.
Hmm.
A little smoky here and there in some neighborhoods too. And some people are still burning leaves. I don't know. I kind of like the smell if I'm like just driving through it, but after a while it gets obnoxious.
Down in not too far from my house, the fire department was out in somebody's backyard. I think their burning leaves must have gotten out of control.
Yeah, got to be careful if it's windy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, another one of those kind of weekends here. The birds were active this weekend. We had all kinds of, I've seen pictures, Herald Palladium and elsewhere on the social media of odd birds showing up here, like the evening grosbeaks and that kind of stuff. We haven't seen anything. So, although saw a couple of adult and juvenile red-winged blackbirds, which we don't see very often at the bird feeder, but they were around. And then numerous occasions over the course of the weekend saw geese on maneuvers, and that's always a delightful sight to see. So,
you know, sometimes at Walmart you can see some odd birds too.
Right. And if you're there at the right time of day, people on maneuvers as well. So lots of honking up there and lots of honking on the ground over the weekend. Not so much around here. I wasn't aware that there was any of that celebratory honking going on in Southwest Michigan. Mm. Maybe there was, but man, across the rest of the country and the rest of the world, apparently honking has replaced applause as our method of approval or the designation of approval now. These apparently spontaneous outbursts of support for the new president and vice president elect after it was announced, Saturday morning, that the Associated Press and then other media outlets had declared that he's got enough. The numbers are there. It's a done deal. And he came on a little bit later on to try to pull some things together for the nation going forward.
Let this grim era of demonization in America begin to end here and now.
Mm-hmm. Let's wish him well. he's got quite an uphill battle ahead of him here. And quite frankly, there's still no concession from the sitting president. You just may have heard on ABC News moments ago that he's considering a bunch of rallies going forward. To what end, I'm not sure, except to perhaps feed his ego still. But still no concession from him, and he's going to see his legal challenges through. There are a lot of people who don't think this is over and think that the courts are going to bail him out. And to that end, I give you televangelist Kenneth Copeland.
The media said Joe Biden's president. Ha, 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 ha,
It's as big as his head. So, but there's a lot of people in that camp who, like I said, are not convinced that this is a done deal. They are convinced, despite the fact that there has been no evidence that I have seen that anybody has presented anywhere, that there's anything other than anecdotal problems here and there, that this whole notion of widespread fraud is anything more than just a claim. Everything I've read and anything I've seen from legal and or election experts suggest that the president's efforts are not going to have any effect on the outcome anyway. So it's going to be still a little dicey going forward. By the way, these are the deadlines, the four key dates before any new president is and his win is official. And, of course, this applies to former Vice President Joe Biden as well. December 8th is the deadline for resolving election disputes at the state level. All state recounts and court contests over presidential election results are to be completed by December 8th. December 14th is when electors vote by paper ballot in their respective states and the District of Columbia. The votes for president and vice president counted. The elector signed six certificates of the vote. Those, along with other official papers, then sent by registered mail to various officials, including the president of the Senate. Then by December 23rd, certificates must be delivered to the designated officials. If they're not, the law provides alternative avenues for getting the results to Washington. And on January 6th, the House and Senate hold a joint session to count the electoral votes. So all of that has to fall in line before you can officially announce proceed with the inauguration. And there's all kinds of speculation that the president will just, current president, again, not believing that he lost, will just continue to act as if he is the president, and we go from there. By the way, for those of you who are wondering and going forward, Kamala Harris isn't the only one who made history in this election. Her husband has too, with her set to become the VP, Doug Emhoff. Her husband is set to become the United States' first second gentleman.
So, oh, wow.
So, I guess that's what we call him now, the second gentleman.
Oh, wow.
And he's the first, so he is now the first second gentleman. Also, Joe Biden says she's going to keep her job as a teacher. So there you go. Page one of your morning announcements here on News Talk Sports 94.9 WSJM. COVID demanding more attention. We'll get to that in page two. Sports, though, is coming up next on WSJM. Spence, in page two of your morning announcements, I was going to jump into some the latest on the COVID pandemic. But before we get there, some attention needs to be given to the state of football in the state of Michigan, which, quite frankly, is in a sorry state.
Mm-hmm.
Yikes! What's going on with football in this state? Man, oh man. The U of M loses to Indiana. The Hoosiers are looking good today. That's the first time they've lost to Indiana in like 30 years.
Wow.
Harbaugh's on the hot seat, is what I've heard. I think he's up for either contract renewal or something the end of the year?
Might be.
And, boy, at this stage, can't imagine that's going to happen. But, man, oh, man. And then MSU just got blown out by Iowa after the week after they beat Michigan.
Coach is not happy.
I can imagine. What was it, 49-7 or something? Then, of course, the Lions lose to the Vikings, and Stafford takes a knee to the head and has to go sit out the part of the fourth quarter all the rest of the game because of concussion protocol. So I guess he's okay. And then if you know, they're not from Michigan, certainly, but a significant enough fan base here in this part of Michigan for the Bears. You add in their loss to the Titans yesterday.
Yeah, that was...
And, man, it was a rough weekend for local football fans. Unless, of course, you're an Irish fan. And although I could not stay up for that one because it went forever, on Saturday night. But everything I've seen since, the highlights and the clips and the social media stuff coming out of that, suggests that that game was a real barn burner.
A barn burner.
47-40 in double overtime over the number one team of the nation, which drops Clemson out of the number one spot. Alabama jumps in and propels the Fighting Irish to number two in the nation. So Alabama, Notre Dame, and Ohio State, 1, 2, and 3. So that's all pretty heady stuff. And then the weird, I find that this whole, again, we'll get into COVID here momentarily, but this whole thing of what's going on with mask wearing and so on and so forth at college, well, any sporting events, seems to be almost silly. And we can start with the whole Notre Dame thing. There were fans in the stands, and they are all properly socially distanced and so on and so forth throughout the course of the game. And there's, I don't know what the how many they're letting in, but it's not many. Mm-hmm. The stands are still virtually empty. But when they won, everybody converged on the field. Oh. And they're all shoulder to shoulder and you know, cheek to nose and just right on top of each other, and likely wearing masks, I would assume. I don't know that for a fact, but I would assume that they were. But still, just a complete dismissal of any and all COVID guidelines in that regard. And we don't care. We won. Woo! And I guess you could apply that same logic and or observation to all of the celebrations over the Biden victory over the course of the weekend as well. Mm. So, you know, how come, we're down with the mask wearing and the social distancing, except when we're not.
Yeah.
And the whole thing of the sidelines in football just cracked me up with the whole mask wearing thing, because you've got coaches and other sideline type people wearing masks. Of course, none of the players are. And then quite often the coaches, when they're either yelling at a player or yelling at a ref or celebratory yelling at each other, they pull their masks down. and then, you know, with that, that's when they tell you should wear it the most, because when you're yelling, that's when you're
right.
Well,
right.
When you're spitting droplets or whatever it is you're doing. But it's just so odd, because though so often when they show when the cameras show what's going on the sideline, you got coaches, they got the mask on, the bandana, whatever it is they're wearing, and they pull it down and talk, and then they bring it back up and they keep talking, and then I guess the other guy can't hear him, so they pull it back down. It just doesn't make any sense at all. What are you doing? Why are you doing it? So, and, you know, especially in the both college and NFL ranks are seeing more and more cases pop up. Yeah. Haven't had any issues with having to postpone or cancel NFL games recently. Did early on.
Yeah, they had to move some around.
Yeah. But there are plenty of people, individuals on various teams going into COVID protocol. Mm. So, I don't know. Hopefully we can now turn our collective attention to battling the pandemic. The numbers are starting to get really worrisome here, as Michigan recorded 6,225 cases on Saturday, a one-day record for new cases. The previous record was back last Monday, or actually it was Thursday, with more than 5,700 cases. And 665 new deaths on Saturday. And I think I've mentioned this before. The good news, if there is any coming out of this, is that our treatments are getting better and the number of deaths is not rising proportionally there. But the state processed 75,000 plus tests for Saturday. That's also a record. 9.9% came back positive. They were trying to keep that positivity rate down around 3 or 4%, up to 9.9. And that's dipping below 10% for the first time in 5 days here in Michigan. And I don't know what you're hearing, but I'm hearing more and more out on the streets and from people I know. Yeah, I know somebody's got it. Yeah, I had to test for it. Yeah, this person had it. Yeah, they had to close that place down.
Yep.
We are not anywhere close to getting a handle on this by any stretch of the imagination. That 10% positivity rate is twice as high as the World Health Organization recommends for schools to be open for in-person learning. So I don't know what that's going to lead to. And you guys had this story here of the governor, suggesting, not mandating, but basically telling businesses, figure out a way for people to work at home, you know? If at all possible, keep them at home. I mean, we're doing that here still.
Yep.
So, and if you think we've got it bad, just across the pond, Illinois had over 10,000 cases on Saturday. 10,000 new cases at a positivity rate of 12%. So, and to that end, the end which is battling the pandemic, President-elect Biden unveiling today a group of scientists and experts to help him craft a plan to tackle the coronavirus pandemic. So we will see where that goes from here. But those numbers are just getting staggering. And it's not particular to Michigan or Illinois or the upper Midwest. It's all over the country. It's all over the world. This thing is coming back with a vengeance. And I don't know what's next. If we go back to another lockdown, I don't know how they can do that. It seems like people are feeling that they can handle it. So I don't know. I don't know, Spence. Only time will tell. Also, we got some recommendations over the weekend from the medical community on how to stay safe over the upcoming Thanksgiving holiday. And this is particularly having to do with college kids coming home from school for Thanksgiving. The recommendation is that college kids should still wear masks at home, especially when around anybody who could be at high risk. Quarantine college students when they come home, meaning when they come home, they should stay home. I mean, they don't go out and, you know, do the old party with the friends and long-lost acquaintances and that kind of stuff. Come home, stay home. Avoid house hopping to visit multiple families. Figure out the group of you that are close and, keep that to a minimum and just do it at one house. And ideally, they say you want to keep this holiday season within the immediate family. Avoid gathering in one room as much as possible. And, I guess we could do that. If I keep it to just immediate family, there will just be five of us, and we've got five different rooms. We can all we can all eat in. Here's your folding chair and your card table.
There you go.
You got the northeast bedroom, but there's no TV in there. Shut up and eat.
We'll call that the cranberry room.
Yeah, there you go. I don't want to eat in the sweet potato room. As I said before, shut up and eat. I'll give you a piece of pie at the door on your way home. It's funny, but it's not. Because we got to do something. I think too many people are just figuring, well, I'll get the vaccine eventually. By the way, did you see 60 Minutes piece on the logistics involved in rolling out a vaccine for 300 million people?
No, I didn't see that.
Holy moly. I mean, the military is kind of at the forefront. Not kind of. They are at the forefront of that whole process when it comes to that. And they're working, hard at figuring out how to make that happen. But, boy, when they started digging into what needs to be done to get that again to 300 million people, that's logistically quite challenging. And I thought, well, we pulled this off once before. I think you're old enough to remember the polio vaccines of the late 50s.
Yeah, that was Sugar Cube.
Yeah, we did the Sugar Cube thing. And I remember standing in line at, I think it was like a local Catholic school or something like that, to do that. But I thought, well, we were able to pull that off. But then I looked at the numbers. You know, we had a population of 177 million then. We're up to 330 million now, so almost double the population of what we had back then. So
I remember standing in line for the Sugar Cube. I remember that.
Yeah, me too. So And finally, in page one or page two of your morning announcements here, this comes to us from the If at First You Don't Succeed file. The story out of Grand Rapids of the Schwant family, Jay and Kateri. I don't know what her name is. Maybe they misspelled it and it's Catherine. But regardless, the Schwant family of Grand Rapids, after having 14 sons.
Oh my gosh.
They recently welcomed their 15th child, a baby girl.
Wow.
15 children. And I think any woman who has gone through natural childbirth just all of a sudden just kind of clutched her stomach.
I wonder if they're on a farm.
I think so. It's the Schwants, they're from Lakeview, which is up near Grand Rapids. Apparently, they're the subject of a series called 14 Outdoorsmen.
Oh, okay.
Which debuted just last month on MyOutdoorTV.com. It's a show featuring the day-to-day lives of the 14 boys and their parents, in addition to their planning and preparation and execution of hunting and fishing as a family. So I guess they're real outdoorsy. The mom and dad are both 45, high school sweethearts. They've always wanted a big family. Good thing.
Wow.
Their sons range in age from 28 down to 2.
How could one afford that many kids? I don't understand.
They're saying this is probably their last. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you what, in this day and age, if you have anything odd about your family, either number-wise or just the makeup of the family or anything like that, you are almost guaranteed your own series on TLC or Bravo or Discovery or, in this case, an online show, MyOutdoorTV.com. So, you know, you can make money like that, as Kate Plus 8 or whatever that show was taught us years ago.
Mm.
So, anyway... good luck to the Schwants of Grand Rapids. Page two of your morning announcements.